What's going on, guys? On today's Excuse My Politics, I'm going to go ahead and be talking about what's happening in Trump's world, the shakeup over at the VA, and because it's Thursday, there's a speech at the end to play us out into the weekend. So let's go. Welcome to Excuse My Politics, presented by Bad News Media. It is March 29th, and it's been kind of a quiet week, actually. For the most part, we haven't had the typical bombs being dropped by Donald Trump on the news media. There has been some interesting news going on with the VA and his cabinet, as always. We'll get to that a little bit later. I start with just kind of the crazy circus that's happening around the Trump campaign, or past Trump campaign, and now Trump's administration. Over the weekend, we heard the Stormy Daniels interview. As I talked about on the last pod, it was somewhat of a dud, in my opinion, but that's because I'm a news junkie, I'm a political junkie, so everything that was kind of discussed there, I had already kind of figured out. Hopefully you also knew. If you've been listening to the pod, you should definitely be caught up on most of that, but the one thing that we've been learning is that Trump has more lawyers dedicated to the Stormy Daniels issue than he does to his Russia issue. And part of that reason is because he can't find a qualified lawyer to represent him. Lawyers are running away from him, jumping ship, getting as far away as they can from that sinking boat, which does not speak well to this claim of innocence around Russia and the Russia investigation. Now, there has been some reporting that one of Trump's lawyers, John Dowd, had apparently floated the idea of giving pardons to Michael Flynn and Paul Manafort, not something innocent people would need to do, in an effort to try to get them not to cooperate with the investigation and to eventually provide evidence against Donald Trump, it looks like. These are not the actions of an innocent man, as well as Michael Flynn has already pled guilty. So, you know, there's that. The other thing is Trump just hired a new lawyer from Georgia. He's got a PhD in medieval history, fun fact. But he mostly handled murder cases. He is a small fish in a very big pond with some barracudas and piranhas out there, because Bob Mueller and the lawyers that are going to be bringing a case against Donald Trump are going to eat him alive. The lawyers that Trump has representing him are not the brightest in the bunch. They are pretty much over their head and should be looking for a life raft at this point. This is not shaking up to be good for Donald Trump. But hey, you make your bed, you got to lay in it. So that's kind of his legal trouble. We'll see how it plays out. It's kind of ironic because during the campaign, Trump pretty much laid out his vision of what a President Clinton would look like and how the administration would be. Every week there'd be a scandal. She'd be up to her neck in lawsuits. And it's actually turned out that he is the problem. And he is, every week there's a scandal. Every day sometimes there's a scandal, depending on the week. He is in deep legal trouble, from campaign finance laws, from possible collusion with the Russians, to accepting benefits while under the presidency. There's some ethics lawsuits out there as to his profiting from the presidency, which is not something you can do. So he's really just up to his neck in crap. And it's not going to get any better from here, I don't think, from him, but we'll have to see how it plays out. We also saw this week that the worst kind of people on the Republican side literally have no line. They have been attacking the survivors of Parkland because they don't agree with their position on gun control, and it's not an attack of substance nature where they're debating the points that are being brought by the Parkland survivors. They're not debating the policies that they're presenting. Instead, they're going after them personally, and they are the worst kind of people. But there's finally been some backlash to that and some consequences to that. Lauren Ingram, a Fox News contributor and gunning for the Top Asshole Award of the year, has called out David Hoggs, who is been all over the place on this. He's basically the poster child for Parkland, and he is one of the faces. Emma Gonzalez, who has also basically been the face of this movement. But Lauren Ingram attacked him because he was disappointed he didn't get into the colleges that he wanted to get into. Keep in mind, this kid is 17. At 17, getting into college is a big deal, especially if you had big schools that you really wanted to get into. For him, UCLA was one of those. And Lauren Ingram decided that she was going to laugh and make fun of him because he didn't get into those schools, and he was obviously disappointed, as any 17-year-old is when they face rejection from a college. It's just the worst kind of attack. But because he is awesome, he quickly jumped on it and found out who her advertisers were, ran a social media campaign, and advertisers are starting to pull their advertising dollars from her show. And justifiably, based off what she has been saying on her show for quite some time now, but also over this fact that she has been targeting these kids in just a despicable way. So that was really great to see that. Now, she's issued an apology, of course, because money talks, and she's losing dollars on this. So she's not actually sorry. She's sorry that her words offended the advertisers, and the advertisers don't believe in her messaging around this issue. But she's not actually sorry for what she said, I don't believe. And that's been kind of cool to see that. You know, there are consequences to what you say. There are consequences if you are being a, in my book, a terrible person to somebody who's 17 years old, who just experienced a mass shooting at their school, who's seen their fellow students die, who has gone through an extremely traumatic event and is trying to raise not only awareness to this issue, but trying to get something done, something that we haven't been able to get done. And the Republicans that are going after these kids aren't bringing a counterpoint or aren't looking to debate the topics and the positions they're bringing from a policy standpoint. They're looking to tear them down personally, because in the Republican universe right now, there isn't much to be offered. They don't have a whole lot of policy outside of cutting taxes for the rich and cutting health care for the poor that they can really talk about. They don't bring anything to the table when we're talking about solutions to further this nation and to progress this nation further, whether it comes to gun control or how we're going to solve unemployment or how we're going to solve healthcare or how we are going to basically prop up people so that they can succeed in this world and build a better tomorrow. They're not bringing that to the table. They're not debating people on the points, and they're not having a thoughtful conversation around the issues. Instead, they're looking to score political points by tearing people down personally. And that's the state of our politics on the Republican side of the aisle. And it's sad to see it that way. I don't know if they're going to come back from this. I mean, I would assume if they get their butts whooped here in November, which we've got some hard work ahead of us, but it's definitely possible, maybe they'll realign their position. You know, there are good Republicans out there like John Kasich, who I don't agree with his policies, but he has done a decent job in Ohio and should be somebody the Republicans look to, because he seems to be somebody who will listen to the other side, who will think about the position of the other side, will have a thoughtful conversation and debate around issues and really take in all the facts. So there are good Republicans out there. It's just, unfortunately, right now, the national platform for them is not good. And Fox News is, as we call them, the bullshit factory. So we can't expect anything good coming from there. But I move on to a more crucial point and a bigger topic that I want to get into, and that is what's happening over at the VA. So Trump has once again gotten rid of a big player within his cabinet. He has fired David Shulskin, the VA Affairs or Veterans Affairs Secretary. Now, David has come out in saying that this is a political move because he doesn't support the movement to privatize the VA. He said in an NPR interview, "There are many political appointees in the VA that believe that we are moving in the wrong direction and we weren't moving fast enough towards privatizing the VA." He went on to say, I think that it's essential for national security and for the country that we honor our commitment by having a strong VA. I was not against reforming VA, but I was against privatization. And this is something that Republicans are in favor of all the time. They want to privatize Social Security. They want to privatize Medicare, Medicaid. They want to privatize services that we provide citizens and things like the VA, which is extremely dangerous. Because one, the government is in the business of providing services to the people to make sure that they try to maximize their ability to help people with the resources they're provided with. And sometimes those resources aren't enough. Sometimes they are plentiful, but they are mismanaged. Sometimes the controlling or overseeing government officials or governing body are not the best. They don't want the efforts to succeed. But the overall goal is to make sure we maximize the help and assistance and services we provide to the people for the common good, and the government doesn't care about profiting. That is the opposite of what privatizing does. Privatizing something brings it into the fold of the private world, and what do private companies care about the most? Their bottom line. They care about, how do I turn a dollar and make a dollar? And that means that they may not provide the best care, they may try to cut corners, they may not look out for the best interest of those that they are serving, unlike the government. And when you privatize the VA, an organization that, yes, has its troubles and has its mismanagement of resources and has not always been the best, which is criminal. Because if we are going to be willing to send men and women to war and they are lucky enough to make it home, most of them can be broken. They can be mentally broken, physically broken. We need to make sure that we are supporting them at every aspect, at every corner of life, and we need to be doing it as best we can. And right now, that's the VA system is like a pair of headphones that you put in your backpack, and it gets all tangled up. You times that by 1,000 because it has become a mess. And some of that is because there's been huge mismanagement of it. Some of that is because they haven't been quick enough to digitalizing things, and there's been a huge backlog. I mean, there's a lot of things that have gone wrong, but we should really be focusing our efforts on how to make it better and how to make sure we're providing the best service, the best care to those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, and we're willing to make the ultimate sacrifice and make sure we support them in any way we can. And he is absolutely correct. The privatizing of the VA is an absolute mistake because you're putting it in the hands of people who do not care about the overall service and benefits providing. They care about turning a dollar. And that is not what this should be about. Now, he also said, prior to this departure, there was the release from the Inspector General report that was highly crucial of an official trip he took to Europe last spring. Now, Sulkin brought along his wife, paying for her travel with agency funds as the two enjoyed several days of tourism between the secretary's official meetings. That's what it said in the report, and that he improperly accepted a gift from Wimbledon tennis tickets on the trip. Now, he has rebutted that in the NPR interview. He says that all the expenses were approved in advance by the Internal Ethics Committee, and that when the Inspector General later didn't like the expenditures, he wrote a personal check to the government, which is fantastic if that's how it was, because that's how it should be. If you're going to go do something like this, you should get internal approval. And then the Inspector General said that he didn't agree with that, or they didn't agree with that approval, so he cut a check personally. He is quoted in the interview saying, no one's ever mentioned what the purpose of this trip was. And he then says, this was the Five Allies Conference, a trip that the VA secretary has participated in for 43 years with major allies. We had over 40 hours of direct meetings. I gave 3 separate lectures. This is in our own forum. We share how to care for other veterans among all of our allies. He also said that when he went out, he never used government money for those activities that were outside his official job. The single expenditure spent on a coach airfare for his wife, he's flying her coach, unlike our Treasury Secretary, unlike our EPA Director, other cabinet members and their significant others have done with taxpayer dollars. But that was also officially approved because, and it was pre-approved by the Ethics Committee, because when the Inspector General didn't put on there was that she was invited, was officially invited on the trip. So all of this went through approval. The Inspector General, he's saying, didn't like the way that his staff handled the approval. So he said, okay, fine, and wrote a check. That is what he's claiming. The administration, Trump administration, is trying to use this as a reason to also fire him and try to cover up the fact that they are trying to move towards the privatization of the VA. And that's an unreal standard to hold. As you look across the administration, you've got Ryan Zenke spending $139,000 on a new door. You got Ben Carson absolutely throwing his wife under the bus for a $31,000 dining set. You've got the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, flying worth over $1 million worth of flights, his wife included. You got the EPA Director and Scott Pruitt taking first-class flights all around the world. So this administration is ripe with corruption and the misuse of taxpayer money, or actually a lack of care for how they spend taxpayer money. They don't seem to care at all. But then you have David Shulkin, who from his account is saying, I went through all the pre-approvals. When the Inspector General said they didn't agree with that, I went ahead and I wrote a personal check. In my book, that's great. And it very much looks like this was all a firing due to political reasons, not over his management of the VA, which he said in an op-ed. He made the point to say that unemployment among veterans is near the lowest in years at 3.5%. The percent of veterans who have regained trust in the VA services has risen to 70% from 46% 4 years ago. The veteran groups are all supporting him. They are not a fan of this firing because it stinks to high heaven. Now, the man that Donald Trump has appointed to run the VA is the personal doctor of him, and that is Rear Admiral General Ronnie Jackson. He is Trump's personal doctor now that he is in a government role. Jackson's going to be responsible for managing a 350,000 staff with a $200 billion budget, and there is nothing in his background that suggests that he can do this. He is, from all accounts, a fine physician, one of the best we have, because he's in charge of the president's health and seeing the president, but he has nothing in his background that says that he would be able to manage such a job, that he would be able to meet the needs of the VA secretary and the role that that person has to play. And this is an agency we don't want to mess up, because I said before, the men and women that get services from this agency had more courage in their pinky than Donald Trump has in his entire being. They put their lives on the line. They came back to this country and deserve to be supported in every way possible. And we deserve a great VA secretary. So this is not a good move. It stinks to high heavens. I don't see a way Jackson is an improvement here. He could very well be the worst VA secretary ever appointed. Now, he does have to be confirmed by the Senate, so we'll have to see how that plays out. But I can only imagine that that is going to be an ugly, ugly confirmation, the likes of which we haven't seen since Betsy DeVos, and that is not that long ago, the same cabinet. But we'll have to see how this all plays out. But it's not looking good. Now, to give you a little hope for the weekend, or not maybe hope, but as we talked about a little bit on the last pod, Trump has come out and banned transgender service members from serving in our armed forces, which is a absolutely disgusting view. And this is something that, you know, there are Republicans who have spoken out about this. There are Democrats who are obviously outraged by this, and Republicans who are outraged by that. I shouldn't dismiss that. People like John McCain and others have strong support for transgenders serving in our military. And this all reminded me of a story I read in Business Insider about a Navy SEAL named Kristen Beck, who gave this country 20 years of service, served as a Navy SEAL on SEAL Team 6, who is a badass by every definition of the word, who is a transgender service member after she was out of the service. She came out and has gone, started to go through that transformation. And she's been a great role model She has a movie called Lady Valor. I recommend you all check it out. Learn her story. Learn who she is. Because she had a great quote where she basically said, I want them to tell me that I wasn't good enough to serve. That I wasn't tough enough, basically. That because I'm a transgender person, I wouldn't be able to do my job. And this is keeping into consideration. She served on the Navy SEALs, one of the most elite special forces units in the entire world, if not the most elite special forces unit in the entire world. She is a badass by every definition of the word. She's been great. So I recommend you look into her. But on that whole message of banning transgender individuals from service in our military and armed forces, I want to play a speech that Representative Joe Kennedy from the state of Massachusetts gave last year when Donald Trump poked his ugly, transgender-hating head up, and actually, for that matter, just his hatred for the LGBT community. And Joe Kennedy had a great response to that on the floor of Congress, so I'll go ahead and play that out here. You may have heard it, but I recommend you listen to it again because it's very impactful. You'll be better for listening to it. And remember, guys, be the change.
Mr. Speaker, when our bravest men and women raise their hand and volunteer to defend our nation, they defend all of her people. Rich and poor, young and old, Democrat and Republican, gay and straight, Americans of all races, religions, ethnicities, beliefs, gender identities. Our soldiers do not discriminate. They do not offer to pay the ultimate sacrifice for some Americans and not for others. Their government owes them that same courtesy, that same decency in return. Instead, this morning, our president has told thousands of American soldiers that they will fight for us, but we will not fight for them. That their deeply personal medical decisions are somehow the public's business. That although they are willing to sacrifice their lives to protect our freedom, we will not offer them the most basic freedom in return. Today, the President of the United States looked American soldiers in the eye and dared to question their patriotism, their courage. He doubted their commitment to their brothers and sisters in uniform. He said that our military couldn't or wouldn't stand for all of us. To the thousands of brave transgender men and women serving today in uniform, please know that a grateful nation does not take your service, your patriotism, for granted. You deserve better from your president. You deserve better from your government. You deserve better from your country. Thank you, and I yield back.